Do I even need to ask for it, Alvin?
Yeah!
Hell no, I don't.
Yeah!
Not on this Friday. Welcome to the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in Southern California. Quicken Loans. Mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans.
Today's Friday.
It is Friday. All day long, Hood. All day long. What's going on? How's everybody doing? It is Friday, and it is 7 days now from the smack-off. Great to have you here. Big, big show. 1-800-636-8686. I'm amped. I'm hyped. I'm fired up because I know it's going to be a good one. Got a ton of content. I've got some great interviews. It's an ATP day. It's a week that was day. It's time to profile another participant for the smack-off. It's going to be a good day. I feel it. I know when it's going to be a good day, and this is going to be a very good day. All right, you have your telephone number. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Especially with that Twitter purge, follow me on Twitter. How about that? Everybody got lopped off. In addition to it, you can email me to Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so the interview is set up like this. We're open right now. Coming up at 40 past hour, number one, Rashawn Evans, a linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. Second hour is open. No interviews. Third hour is jammed up. Hey, keep this in mind. If the third hour on a Friday is always the busiest hour of the week, and then you put two interviews in it, it's going to be nearly impossible for you to get through. Do not wait until hour number three. In the third hour, I have Indians manager Terry Francona. I've got LA Lakers head coach Luke Walton. I've got the week that was and the ATP. Third hour is a monster today. So you want to call right now. Do not wait. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. All right, there are some really, really heavy stories. Heavy stories, bad stories, disturbing stories. And I'm going to get to them. I don't want to start with one of them. I'm talking about LeSean McCoy. I'm talking about Kellen Winslow. I don't want to start with these things. They're really important, and I'm going to get there. On this Friday, I want to start with something a little lighter. And, you know, it's been about a minute since we've heard from Ben McAdoo. And I got to be honest, I miss the big fella. I have really missed the big fella. I miss everything about this guy. I miss him showing up at that intro presser with that suit that looked like it belonged to King Kong Bundy. I miss the bizarrely oversized windbreakers. I miss the slick back lettuce. I miss the sunglasses. Damn, I miss this guy. Miss everything about this guy. The way he looked, the way he acted, the way he coached. I miss this guy's vibe. Fortunately, he finally resurfaced. He finally resurfaced, and he spoke to the New York Post about the New York Giants. And as soon as I saw that Ben McAdoo was talking football, man, I was in. I was all about it. I had so many questions. Luckily, Ben McAdoo had so many answers. Starting with, what does he think about this year's Giants? Quote, I think they've made a lot of moves I wanted to make. End quote. That's my dude right there. That's how you start this thing. That's the guy that I miss. He's chilling in Florida these days, but that does not mean that he's not looking to remind you that the team is finally doing what he wanted them to do. You know, the old, yep, that was my idea. That's what I told them to do. If they had done that before, kind of deal. You know, kind of like when somebody tries to open up a jar, but they can't. So then they hand it to you, and you open it up, and they say, yeah, well, I loosened it for you. That's McAdoo. I love this guy. Tell me more. Tell me more, Benjamin. Well, not only does he like the Giants, he told the Post he thinks they're going to win the division. And I know what you're thinking. Did he forget that the defending Super Bowl champs are in that division? Isn't that just classic Ben McAdoo going Ben McAdoo? Yeah, the team I was coaching is going to win the division. Never mind that the defending champs are in the division. First off, you got to stop with the lame nicknames. Second off, you know, Ben McAdoo, like Ben McAdon't. You got to stop with those nicknames. Secondly, he didn't forget that at all. He's well aware of it. He knows who won the Super Bowl. And he's got an answer for all of you chumps that are trying to clown him. Quote, I think Philly. How much success has Philly had? I think they're going to have a hard time handling success. Dallas. I like their offensive line. But how long have we been saying that? Their defense, they got a bunch of young guys playing DB. Sean Lee is banged up a lot. And their D-line, they got a bunch of guys getting in trouble all the time. And Washington is Washington, right? End of quote. It's my dude right there. That's my guy. That's the guy that I miss. My man believes that Philadelphia is going to struggle after having success because they've never had success. I mean, that's an awesome take. Nothing says logic like a team that was good is going to be bad because they've never been good before. But a team that was garbage last year is going to be good because, well, he says so. And let's not sleep on his analysis that Washington is Washington. I mean, hashtag analysis. Washington's Washington, yo. I mean, is this a former NFL head coach or some random sports radio caller? Is this Ben no longer in Meadowlands calling on the listener line? I feel like this guy should have ended his takes with, y'all take your answer off the air. Great show. Great show. But my man was just getting loose. He was just getting warmed up. Here comes his thought on the Giants' new left tackle, Nate Solder. Quote, getting a left tackle in there will help them in a lot of ways. I don't think he's a very good player, but I think it will help the team in a lot of ways where they needed help in that room in the past, and they haven't had anybody to do that, end quote. Hey, Giants fans, you thought you were fired up. You thought it was a good thing that they were bringing in a two-time Super Bowl champ in Nate Solder. Yeah, well, Ben McAdoo doesn't. Quote, I don't think he's a very good player. Boom! Roasted! How's that taste, Nathan? Oh, but the arrival of Solder does mean that Ereck Flowers moves over to right tackle. So that's got to be a good thing, right, Ben? Well, let's just say that McAdoo is not sold on Flowers at left tackle or right tackle, or really anywhere. Quote, he can't bend. You've got to be able to bend. You can run around him on the right side like you can on the other side. Eli just gets to see it, which may help Eli. End quote. Listen, I know a lot of you don't understand coach speak, but I do. Let me translate that for you. That is coach speak for he sucks, but at least Eli can see that he sucks and see the damage that he's causing before Eli gets hit. See, here's the thing. I feel like we're only scratching the surface with the McAdoo takes. I want more. I need more. I mean, I felt like that was an appetizer. Now I need the main course. I need it weekly. I need it daily. I need McAdoo to weigh in on everything. Because if there's one thing I like more than his takes on the NFC East, it's the fact that he's already hyping his old team to be better without him and paving the way for himself to take credit later on. You know, like, I love these moves. I was the one that wanted to make these moves, but they wouldn't let me. Now that I'm gone, they're doing it, and they'll win, and it's all my idea. Mac is back, yo. Mac is back, baby. Hey, Ben, don't change. Don't you ever change. I miss you. It's good to have you back. What else you got? Yo. What else you got? Somebody's got to call this guy up. The Post, the Daily News, somebody, anybody. One of the tabs. Get this guy on the blower. I need more. Welcome back, Ben. 1-800-636-8686. Fact is, there are some really heavy stories today, and I'm going to get to those stories. I just did not want to start with them. But I do have thoughts on LeSean McCoy. I do have thoughts on Kellen Winslow. I've got thoughts on Isaiah Thomas, IT. Man, how about this cat? That's a long fall for him. This is a guy that was a dominant offensive player, an MVP candidate, a guy openly talking about getting a max deal, and now he signs for the veterans minimum for 1 year, and he's going to have to come off the bench to rebuild himself. You know, and he's owning it as well as he can. We'll talk about what that means and how he might do in Denver and whether or not he can rebuild his value. I want to talk some baseball. I want to talk more about the Boston Red Sox. I've been hyping them up all week long, and they did it again last night. Mookie Betts did it again last night. A 13-pitch grand slam. What an amazing at-bat that was. I mean, all hyperbole aside, that was one of the truly great at-bats in Major League Baseball. Like, not just this year, ever. Normally something that I think is truly, I don't know, to use a phrase, whack ass. Minor league baseball promotions. I mean, like, that's get it. I kind of understand it. Sometimes they're mildly amusing. I see one that I love. My favorite minor league baseball promotion ever. Nothing whack ass about this one.
That's whack.
Oh, Alvin, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Hey, Alvin, if I were to say to you something is whack-ass, what would you say?
That's whack.
Can you name both of those people? Del Harris?
That's whack.
Rachel? Rachel? Del Harris?
That's whack.
I don't know if you ever heard this. If Alvin puts Rachel on a loop and speeds it up, it sounds like you're at the Brickyard. Does that not sound like Daytona? Stop that for 1 second. If you're new to the program, that's Rachel from Houston, who back in the day went with one of my manual buzzers, the If you run that back-to-back, does that not sound like the Daytona 500? Car speeding by. So good. Let's check out the email off the top. Dear Rome, I am completely shocked that the Nuggets were able to snag Isaiah Thomas for the veterans minimum. He may be the best scorer in the league. Signed it 12 months ago. Casey, New Hampshire, War. Hey, IT, are you happy to sign with the Nuggets for $2 million? I'm always happy.
Daddy's always happy.
It's good. This is a guy who openly talked about teams having to back up the Brinks truck. Signing for the veterans minimum. I mean, think about this. The guy's in Boston. He's the face of the franchise. He's talking openly about them backing up the Brinks truck. I mean, the guy's good for almost 30 a night. I mean, a dominant, dominant offensive player. Then he hurts his hip. He tries to play through it. They shock him by unceremoniously dumping him on Cleveland. It doesn't work in Cleveland. He's not a fit there. They send him to L.A. He ends up falling off the cliff altogether in L.A. And now he's going to try and rebuild things in Denver. It's actually, to me, I mean, it's real. It's life. There is no sympathy. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad where that guy is. But we'll see if he can rebuild himself. I love the signing. He knows the coach. There's no downside for Denver. And he's got a chance for a show-me contract. Once he can prove that he's healthy. I was going to ignore this, but you won't let me, apparently. Dear Jim, it's Friday the 13th. You know what that means? Hawk will crack his back when his black cat crosses his tracks. Alvin's libido will be cursed when he walks under the ladder that he used to climb onto his chair.
Dude, no.
And the mirror in the employee's bathroom will mysteriously shatter when James Kelly lowers his head while washing his hands. Superstitiously yours, Den Lesks, palm reader and rodent hypnotist. Wore my Ouija board this morning, spelling out the names of the 2018 Smack-Off champion, and I will reveal in exactly 7 days and 3 hours. Hey, Den Lesks, understand this, know this, that email is not going to get retweeted 300,000 times. You're not going viral with that. Hey, Rome, just curious, are you headed to the lake tonight? Signed, Jason V. Good. That's good. Not tonight. There is not going to be a lake run tonight. I may hit you with some scenic shots on Instagram tonight, but not from the lake. Tune in later to see what it is.
Let's go!
Let's go to the lake! Rashawn Evans, Titans linebacker, coming up at 40 past. Terry Francona in hour number 3. Luke Walton in hour number 3. Second hour's open. Come and get some. All right, so you hear that Amazon is upping its Prime membership fee from $99 to $119 for free shipping. That's a 20% hike. Man, that takes stones, doesn't it? That's not cheap, especially when you consider that Walmart is offering free 2-day shipping and no membership fee. That is obviously a way better deal, a much better deal, and an extra $119 in your pocket. I'll say it again, man, that is savage. How's that taste, Amazon? What would you do with an extra $119? Here's the deal for everybody listening. I'm going to ask you once again, what would you rather do with $119? Now, while you're thinking about that, go to walmartfreeshipping.com for a chance to instantly win a $119 Walmart gift card. I know exactly what I would do if I had a gift card like that. What would you do? In the meantime, you can register for the $1,119 grand prize drawing. That's walmartfreeshipping.com for complete rules and details. Walmartfreeshipping.com for complete rules and details. 2 business day shipping, minimum $35 order. Restrictions do apply. Check it out right now.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. My thoughts on LeSean McCoy in a minute. A couple emails quickly. Romy, McAdoo's football takes are fire. Man, this dude is insightful. Sincerely, every local sports radio hack and dude you sit next to in the stands, Jason in Louisville. I mean, that is a fire take, right? Well, and Washington's Washington. You can only get analysis like that and an insight like that from a guy who coached in the NFL. And Washington's Washington, right? There's some fire analysis. Romy, we want to stop smack off callers from bum rushing the studio last year. Glad the show is finally doing what we would have done. Signed, Mike in Indy and Ben in Florida. Rowan in Pittsburgh. 1 week out, I'm still wondering about Mike. I know Vic's coming in. We heard him yesterday. Not only is Vic coming in, Vic is back. But the question about Vic is, after yesterday, was that call that he made yesterday, and it was great, was that going to be better, or is it better than what a smack-off call is going to be on Friday? A lot of you were quick to rush in and say that. I don't know. Might be, might not be. But I know he'll be here Friday. Romy, what can I say? Eli is overrated. Eli will always live in the shadow of his brother and the real greats. He may as well be left in Laguna with those two titles that he gets no respect for. Yours, Ben McAdoo. Tyler in Edmonton sent that. The boys in Canada still feeling it. Tyler in Edmonton, Matt in Vancouver. No way did they both finish outside the top 10 this year, right? No way. They're both coming in. Adam Hawks in. Dear Rome, who is the stranger next to Alvin? Let me guess. He just got back from his coast-to-coast tour on Kimmel. And Good Morning America. Welcome back, Flight Deck. Justin from Melbourne. The Flight Deck is back. James Kelly in the house. It's Friday. Of course he's here. All right, so while Richie Incognito wasted absolutely no time jumping right on Twitter to say that he knew the full story of the LeSean McCoy home invasion and that McCoy was, quote, good to go, the victim of the alleged attack apparently does not agree. Delicia Cordone's 911 call has been released, and it would appear that just after the attack, she was pretty clear on who might have been involved. Now, before I play this, I want to say it is a 911 call made shortly after an alleged home invasion. It's distressing. It's disturbing. But it is important because of what she says during the call.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
Someone broke into my house and beat me with a gun, was looking for money and jewelry, and my son is missing.
It's okay. Is the person still in your house right now?
No, they left. My son is missing.
Okay, give me just a moment. I'm getting help going to you. Are you at that location now?
Yes.
When did this happen?
Just now. They just left.
Were weapons involved or mentioned, ma'am?
Yes, a gun. I got beat in the face, like me and my cousin, and I had... Oh, my God.
All right, I'm getting units right there. How many suspects were involved, ma'am?
One.
Okay. Where is the suspect now?
I don't know. They left out of my house. But
okay.
My son is missing.
How did they? I understand. I am getting officers going right now, ma'am. How did they leave?
They made us go upstairs into the bathroom, and they shut the door, and then they left.
Okay. Do you know? Did you see a vehicle or anything right now?
No.
Anything?
Okay. Anything. No.
What was taken?
Okay. And they're just hanging out of my son's windows. I don't know if my son escaped or if that guy went out that way.
Okay. What was taken out of the house?
He took my jewelry off my bracelet. My diamond bracelet off my wrist. And he just kept asking for jewelry. I
okay.
Got something to do with my ex-boyfriend.
All right. Does anyone? Okay, that's fine. Does anyone need medical attention? You said you were hit in the head. Do you need medical attention?
My face is demolished right now.
Okay, all right. You're doing a great job. I've got a lot of people coming to help you
all
right now.
All right, so this is a really tough listen. But notice that she told the 911 dispatcher that the attack, quote, had something to do with my ex-boyfriend. Here's another quote. He must have known the camera system. LeSean must have told him there's no camera in the front, end quote. That's an interesting detail because it goes along with the claim from her lawyers that a new security system was put into the home in June and it included security cameras that Cordone could not access or view. An additional note from attorneys pointed out that there was no sign of forced entry. Again, we don't know if that's a fact yet, just like we don't know if the attacker was not caught on the security cameras. But the idea that the attacker allegedly entered the house without breaking in and left without being caught on the camera would seem to indicate some level of knowledge of what he was doing. It would seem to eliminate the possibility that that was just a random attack. Here's another quote from her call. He took my diamond bracelet off my wrist. He just kept asking for jewelry. I think this has something to do with my ex-boyfriend. My face is demolished right now. End quote. Hearing somebody describe their face as demolished right now is very tough to hear. The photo that popped up on Instagram that started the entire story is really difficult to look at. She said she had been hit multiple times in the face with a firearm by the attacker. Again, we don't know what happened that night, what did or did not happen. From the pieces of information right now, it would seem to indicate that McCoy may have had some involvement in that home invasion, especially if the attacker was looking for jewelry that McCoy had previously asked for, and if the attacker left the home in a way so that he would not be caught on camera. Again, we don't know. Maybe it was completely random. A complete coincidence that some stranger managed to get incredibly lucky and find a way into the home with no signs of forced entry, according to her attorneys, and just happened to ask for jewelry that McCoy had allegedly requested in the past, and then somehow managed to escape by a route that would mean that he was not caught on camera. I mean, stranger things have happened, right? Maybe, I guess. Or maybe it wasn't McCoy. Maybe it wasn't luck. Maybe she herself set the entire thing up. Maybe she really did have access to the security cameras the whole time. Maybe she just, I don't know, set up some sort of fake home invasion where she'd be assaulted to the point of needing to go to the hospital so she could pin the entire thing on McCoy. I guess that's possible. Somehow. Maybe. I guess. LeSean McCoy has not said anything since his initial statement, but that has not stopped Richie Incognito from tweeting and retweeting a bunch of pics and memes related to his support for McCoy. Again, I'm not doubting that Richard knows more than most, but unless he knows absolutely everything that there is to know and knows that either it was a random attack or that Cordone herself set the whole thing up, then if I were Richard, I'd push away from Twitter for a moment. If I were Richard. 1-800-636-8686. What do you think happened? Who do you believe? What do you believe? More on that a little bit later on. When we come back, we talk some NFL with Tennessee Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans. He'll actually be in a studio in New York City, so we'll hook that up for you. Terry Francona coming up in hour number three. Luke Walton coming up in hour number three. The second hour is your hour. Get yourself together. Figure out what you want to talk about. Hit us up right now. Time now for a bottom of the hour sports update. Here is the very latest on a busy Friday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Right. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Great to be with you. If you want to get at me and you want to be on the program, you want to hit me up next hour. As promised right now, I'm joined by a linebacker for the Tennessee Titans, a two-time national champion at Alabama, an all-SEC selection. For his career, 152 tackles, 15 sacks, 19 quarterback hits. He was the 22nd pick in this year's draft. Tennessee is going to open up against Miami on September 9th. We are joined right now by Rashawn Evans. Rashawn, really nice to have you on. Good morning. How are you?
How you doing, man?
Good, dude. Good. Good to have you on. Listen, you spent your entire life working towards this moment, and now you're less than 2 months from your first NFL game. Do you have any idea what it's going to feel like to run out of a tunnel for the first time in a regular season NFL game?
I mean, obviously I'm going to be nervous and anxious. I mean, I was like that at every single game when I was at Bama. So I feel like I'm going to be like that. And, you know, just to be able to have the opportunity to play in the league, man, something that I dreamed of my whole life, man, it's going to be amazing.
So I had your new teammate, Wesley Woodyard, on the program right after you were drafted, and he was saying how much he's looking forward to working with you. You're going to come into a situation where the defense has got a lot of talent. You've got some really good guys, too. So what's the transition been like so far from college to the NFL?
I think the number one thing is just being up to speed with those guys. I mean, a lot of them have a lot of plays and a lot of games up under their belt, and they know the ins and outs of football. So for me to be able to get as much information and soak up as much information as I can from those guys, I feel like that's going to elevate my game.
Rashawn Evans joining us. Now, you were a leader at Alabama, and early on, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel put you in charge of the other rookies. So what did that mean to you to know that you got that level of respect from your head coach already, and how have you gone about trying to lead?
I've just been embracing it, man. I feel like, you know, as I continue to step into that role, I think that needs to come naturally. Number one is lead by example, making sure I do all the things on and off the field for me to be able to say the things that, you know, I want somebody else to do. And, you know, I just kind of just, you know, follow the guys that have been in the league for a long time and get as much information from them. And I feel like, you know, from that, I feel like I'll be fine.
I'll tell you something, talking to you right now, you don't sound like somebody who hasn't played his first game in the NFL yet. And one of the things your coaches talk about is the maturity you have and the fact that you already approach your job like a professional. I got to know, where does the mindset and the approach come from?
I would say just me, just naturally how I was raised. You know, my parents raised a, you know, young man that has, you know, has a lot of value. And I, you know, I take a lot of pride in, you know, the things that I do. And I do it passionately, and you can kind of see that the way I play. So I feel like just me going into this, you know, this season, I feel like the number one thing for me is to continue to keep doing what I've been doing and, you know, let everything just happen by itself.
Now, when you mention your parents, I wonder about this, because another phrase that gets used when people talk about you is you're an old soul. How much of that do you think might come from growing up in the country?
I think it has a lot to do with it. You know, my mom and dad, they all listen to old school music. You know, some of my teachers were all old school. So I think that's the reason why they do that. But, you know, I embrace it. I love it. For me to be able to be called that, I feel like, you know, that's something that's a compliment, I would say.
Tennessee Titan Rashawn Evans, my guest. Listen, follow me on this. There's this amazing story, and maybe you're tired of telling it, but I'm not sure everybody knows this story, so I have to ask. Legend has it, man, when you were young, your family had horses. Your brother Alex was a big animal guy. He said you should start chasing horses. When he said that, what did you first think?
I thought he was crazy when he first said chase horses, man. I mean, horses are powerful animals, man. You know, they're like, you know, cars almost in a way, just how fast they are and how big they are. So for me to get behind something like that, you know, you got to be a little crazy and not have a little bit up there, you know, at the top. But, you know, when I first started doing it, you know, I kind of had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, after that, I just started implementing it into my, you know, my workouts.
But just so you know, I'm a horse guy. I grew up with horses. We own thoroughbred horses. I know exactly what you're talking about. But Alex said that you guys would run with the horses, especially this one, Aladdin, almost every day from grade school to high school. I mean, what were those workouts like, and did you ever catch a horse?
Crazy. I never caught the horse. My brother did, though. So I guess that kind of tells you who had the most talent in that area, but, you know, as far as speed. But other than that, man, I mean, me and my brother, we work, you know, hand-to-hand. Whenever he has ideas, you know, he brings them to me, and, you know, I just try to, you know, work with it and see what happens. But, you know, you can kind of tell the creativity that's within my family.
Rashawn Evans joining us. I'm going to talk about your family in a minute. I want to ask you this, and not everybody knows this. You were a quarterback. You actually were a quarterback back in the day.
Yeah.
What was it like playing quarterback?
It was amazing. That was my first love, actually, my first love as far as position-wise. And, you know, it kind of hurt me, too, when I had to move over to defense. But, you know, the reason for it was that I was so aggressive. I was always trying to find guys to run over. So they were like, well, shoot, since you got the size, you might as well just move over to defense. They felt like I was going to make a lot more money than, you know, playing defense and playing quarterback. So, you know, I went with it.
You went with it. It makes sense. But at that time, when you first hear that, it's tough, right? I mean, you said it yourself. And, like, when you're that guy.
Absolutely.
And you want to be the guy.
Yeah.
And then your old man played the game. Your father played. When you guys first heard that, you and your dad, what'd you think?
You know, me and my dad, we looked at each other. We were kind of like, you know, how is all of this stuff going to pan out? You know, my dad, most of my family members are all offensive people. So, you know, having a defensive person in the living room, it's kind of like, wow, you know, things have changed, you know, dramatically. But, you know, other than that, man, I'm embracing. I love it. You know, I was blessed to be able to go first round and be selected by the Tennessee Titans. So I feel like everything worked out.
Rashawn Evans joining us. So you made the transition to defense, and the story goes that you were playing safety, then linebacker, then defensive end.
Yeah.
What was the move like from offense to defense?
It was a little different. Defense, you got to pay attention to a lot of things, man. And, you know, you have to have control of a lot of things. But I think, too, quarterback kind of helped me out to be able to understand that I'm a big the guy that's accountable to be able to, you know, make calls and put guys into the right position so they can be successful as well. So I think the leadership part of that from quarterback, I think that kind of transitioned over to football, to defense. So it wasn't that bad of a move.
My guest is Rashawn Evans. You mentioned your family was mostly offensive people. One more thing about that, they were mostly Auburn people. They were all Auburn people.
Exactly.
I mean, think about this. Your father played at Auburn. Your mother has 4 degrees from Auburn, including a doctorate. Your sister was an Auburn cheerleader. Your uncle is a vice president at Auburn. So knowing all of that, how did you end up at Bama?
Man, I had to go against the grain. You know, I did something that was unheard of, something that a lot of people probably felt that wasn't the best decision. But, you know, now that I look back on it, I mean, I got 2 national championships, you know, to the Tennessee Titans, one of the best teams in the league. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, Rashawn, I mean, you went against the grain. You were swimming upstream. It all worked out. I mean, it was the right call. And obviously people on the outside are going to push back. What about inside, though? Was your family pushing back at all, or do they understand it and they support the decision from the jump?
They understood it. The whole process was very stressful for me because, you know, I had a lot of people in Auburn that, you know, I wanted to make happy. But at the same time, you know, I had to make a, you know, a business decision. And, you know, my family were right there, every bit of every part of my family was there. And, you know, when I made my final decision, I had every single person that was, you know, a part of my family there. They were there to support me, and, you know, we made a decision.
Hey, listen, I'm sure you'll tell me it's because of that support, but when you're a young person like that, you're a young person, man, that's a heavy, heavy, heavy decision to have to make.
Oh,
and then all the negative response that came along with it, how did you deal with that? How did you process that part of it?
Well, I kind of had to just kind of weed out some of the things that, you know, that caused a guy, you know, at my age at the time when I was like 18 or 19, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, influence you to want to go to a certain place, whether it's somebody that you know or love that, you know, wants to see you play each and every game there. So it was a hard transition. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for a lot of these guys that are coming out. You know, it seems like football is starting to become even more and more, you know, on TV and on social media. So it's kind of hard for guys to really just kind of do things, you know, silently and privately. But other than that, man, I feel like, you know, in that situation, it's a blessing. You just have to embrace it. And, you know, I think that's exactly what I did.
Dude, you are an old soul. I think this is really important what you just said. I mean, there's so much that goes into playing football or any sport at the highest level, but it's so different right now with social media, with the distraction, with the fans, with the pressure you get. How do you block out all the noise, focus only on the controllables, and just worry about football? Yeah. How do you go about doing that?
I feel like just, you know, you can kind of put it in so many ways, man. I feel like everybody has a different situation. You know, my situation was, you know, I'm truly blessed to be able to have 2 parents and to be able to have the family members that I had to, you know, help me make a decision like that. But not a lot of guys had that luxury. You know, some guys are being able to make decisions on their own. And, you know, you can kind of tell, you know, just how hard of a decision that is, because, you know, what you choose can, you know, change your life drastically. And, you know, I feel like for any guy in that situation, I think the number one thing is just to, you know, make the business decision. Understand that you need to go to a team that, you know, that can help and build you to be the player that you want to be. And, you know, you kind of have to, you know, really think off to maybe like 3 or 4 years off, you know, into the future, man, to kind of see how you might pan out. And that's exactly what I did. I feel like, you know, University of Alabama was going to better prepare me, you know, for the league and be able to have the opportunity to go first round and, you know, have these luxuries of being able to, you know, be on here as well. So, I mean, you know, I think everything you know, as far as that, I feel like you just got to really just kind of weed out all of that stuff and just make a smart, you know, business decision.
Rashawn Evans joining us. You know, something you said, it's one thing to be a young person and have to make a decision like that, that you know it's going to impact the rest of your life and make a business decision, but you had a lot of family support. What if you're a young player and you're making a decision that's not only going to impact your life, what if there are other people counting on you as well and you're trying to do something that's going to impact a bunch of other people's lives? How much pressure is that for a young player?
It's a lot of pressure, man. You know, you coming in from high school, man, and, you know, the only thing they want you to do is play football. That's the only thing you really got to worry about and, you know, make your grades. But, you know, when you transition that into a guy at that age, you know, to make a decision like that, not only changes his life but everybody around him, you know, it can wear and tear on the guys, you know, mentally. And, you know, I think the number one thing is for guys to really just, you know, be in a situation where they need to understand that, you know, this is truly about them. They are the guy that's going to be waking up at 6:30 in the morning, running those 110s, and you know, having to go into that film room and get the extra film work and all those little things. And not only that, be able to have, you know, guys around them that they are able to, you know, be like. And I think that's a lot of things that you have to, you know, kind of take into account when you're making a decision like that. So it's very difficult decision, but. You know, once you really just kind of slow everything down and understand that decision has to really come truly down to you, I think the player is going to be happy, and the way he plays and all those things, I think the family members, all of that will fall in line.
Dude, I'm shaking my head because when I went to college and I was your age, going into college, I didn't have any of that, man. My parents paid for my school. All I had to focus on was getting to class, getting my grades, and in no way was I ready even for that, much less all this.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, what was it like playing for Nick Saban? What did you learn from Nick Saban? What kind of an impact did he have on you on and off the field?
Oh, man, you know, Coach Saban and I feel like, you know, me and him, we were really in the transition of really learning each other. You know, Coach Saban is a very structured guy. You know, he wants things a certain way. And, you know, I was a guy that was very creative, wanted to do things kind of my way in some sorts. But, you know, as I kind of got, you know, older and, you know, understanding him, you know, I truly implemented his ways and his coaching into my lifestyle. And, you know, it changed everything. And I feel like, you know, to be able to be under a guy like that, I think it does, you know, it does wonders to a guy's life. And to be able to, you know, grow up and be able to understand the meaning of, you know, paying attention to detail, doing all the right things when nobody else is looking. So just doing those little things like that, I feel like that's something that I implemented into my life. And not only just in football, but, you know, outside of football. And I think, you know, that's something I'm continuing to do.
He's the ultimate process guy. So let me ask you this. You adjusted to him, and you clearly benefited from that, but you brought a certain creativity to it, like you said. Did he adjust to you at all, or is it his way or the highway?
It depends, man. I think as a coach with him, I think he has to kind of feel you out as a player. If he understands that you're a mature guy, that you are truly there to really be the best that you can possibly be, you know, he's going to be leaning on certain things. And, you know, I feel like, you know, as I got older and matured, I think he began to be more lean. He depended on me a lot more. He trusted me a lot more. And that's something that I earned. It's not something that I walked into and was like, you know, you're going to make me wear this jersey. I'm going to wear this jersey. And you're going to put me in this position. I'm going to play that. It's not like that. It's more of you proving to the guys, not only, you know, upstairs, but the guys that's in the locker room as well, that you deserve to be able to play and be able to, you know, wear that jersey.
He's a member of the Tennessee Titans now, a two-time national champion. He was an all-SEC player while he was there, a first-round draft pick, and starting the NFL dream. Rashawn, I've talked to a lot of rookies, man. You do not sound like a rookie. I appreciate you. I appreciate you finding that studio in New York City. Really nice to have you on the program, and I'll look forward to getting caught up with you once the year starts, man. Really good to have you on, Rashawn.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you. You have a great day. Rashawn Evans, he is years beyond where a guy like that would normally be. And I think part of his upbringing, part of the fact that he went to Alabama, but that does not sound like a rookie at all. You can see why they like him so much. Rashawn Evans, that is a guy to watch. And he found his way into a studio, sat right down, knocked out a great interview too. Much respect. All right, so we start hour number two. Remember, hour number three is going to be a full hour, including the ATP. Ask the Pros. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question right there. Listen later on. I might answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. We will have that in hour number three. We'll have the week that was in hour number three. Terry Francona in hour three. Luke Walton in hour three. Meaning the second hour is your hour to step it up. Get in here. You have your phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. You know where to shoot me an email. I've got the Smack Off player profile. I want to talk about Kellen Winslow, too. Phone lines are open. See you in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.